This is Doug Miller. Saved to the uttermost. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
This is Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back again one more time this side of eternity to speak into this mic. You hear me say that a lot, don't you? Well, you hear me say it a lot because I am very aware of the fact that time is short, it's running out, and because it's short and running out, it is necessary for us to be urgent in what we are doing for the Lord. We've got to be about his business. And those of you who are listening to me out there, you need to think seriously about what you hear, because how much time you have or I have this side of eternity, we don't know. Time is, however, getting short, and even if the Lord's coming is somewhere way off in the future, which I don't believe, I think it is very near at hand, but even if it's 1,000 years away, time's running out for you and me, isn't it? Time to believe and be saved. Today's the day, and you dare not put it off. And that is why I always, or often say anyway, at the beginning of the broadcast, one more time, this side of eternity. We are brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's to put this word out there. And by the grace of God, we're going to continue to do that. And of course, we are very dependent on your prayers and your support. We covet them, and just pray. If you've got a prayer list, just write Dialogue down on it, would you please? And pray for us, and tell others to listen in as well. Now bring your Bible. Come along. We are in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, and we will begin today with verse 23. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, I always say this because it's true. We'd love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters from our listeners, to know you're out there and where you are and that you're hearing and that we're reaching you. And any questions we can answer, be delighted to do it, help you in any way we can. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. Here is a great, these two verses, 23, 24, and 25, are great verses. Great verses. Now, you've heard me mention on here before this business of memorizing Scripture. I do it. I recommend it. I'm not going to get pushy about it. Some of you say, well, I can't memorize Scripture, but really you can if you work at it. And you might say, well, what's the point? Well, the point is to make it a part of you, to get it in your mind and in your heart. And I know, you know, we used to have an Awana's club at the meeting that I'm in, and we had the kids memorizing Scripture. And I used to tell the adults, nothing wrong with you memorizing this Scripture either. It's good for you. So, but here, these verses 23 through 25, I memorized a long time ago, and wow, I mean, there is dynamite here. Look at this. And they truly, and when we left off last time, we were talking about the Aaronic and the Levitical priesthood and how it's been set aside. And of course, it's been set aside in more ways than one. There is no Aaronic or Levitical priesthood functioning out there at all today. God has done away with it during this dispensation altogether. And, you know, I'm sure if there were an Aaronic high priest out there or the Levitical high priest, I'm sure that there'd be a lot of people, even Christians, gravitating back toward those because we are very impressed by those kind of titles, aren't we? We are very impressed with people, you know, with names, you know, like Reverend and the Right Reverend, Reverend and Your Eminence and all of this stuff. That impresses us. And if there were a high priest out there somewhere that was in this this continuous, unbroken line clear back to Aaron, you can put it in the bank that there'd be plenty of people, including Christians, that would be hovering around him and, you know, wanting to kiss his robe and his ring and all of this. But they're not there anymore. God has done away with them. And look at why. They were many. There were a bunch of them. And why? Because they were dying off. You have to have a bunch if they're dying as fast as they're being made. You know, this one dies. I got another one here to slot into his place. The high priest dies. Bring up the next one and install him. But he is dying and he cannot continue. But look at this. But this man, what man? The one identified as the Lord Jesus Christ, the one identified as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He continues ever. He doesn't ever die. He does not change, and therefore he has an unchangeable or an untransferable is an interesting way that the Greek actually reads here. An untransferable priesthood. There will be no other. There is none other coming along. For those of you out here, any of my dear Jewish friends, I love you dearly, but I've got to tell you the truth. If you're waiting for another Messiah, quit waiting. He is Messiah, and when he comes back, you're going to find that out. He is not changing. He is not going to change. He has an unchangeable priesthood because he is alive forevermore. Now, as we were seeing last time, it is this very fact, among others, that makes him able to do what we are going to read about in verse 25. And it's verse 25 that I had reference to when I started the broadcast off. Saved to the uttermost. What is this business anyway? Because, now, you know, when you've heard me say before, look at verse 25. It begins with the little word, wherefore. And my old buddy John Walden used to say, if you see a wherefore, remember, it always points back to what's gone before. Well, what has gone before? The statement that he, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. And it is this very fact, that means that he is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God by or through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now listen to me carefully. Many of you out there are familiar with the verse with John 14:6 in that upper room ministry where the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciple who said, the Lord Jesus had told him, I'm going away. And he said, whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Lord, we know not whither you are going, said the disciple, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I want you to think about that verse, and let me just talk a little bit about it because it goes right in along with this verse 25 here. In verse 25, we see individuals coming to God by him or through him. And that's the exact language that the Lord Jesus uses back in John 14:6. No man comes to the Father, and he says, but through me. I know the King James says by me, but the Greek is through me. So what do we have here? We have a verse that's frequently, I think, misused. That verse, John 14:6, doesn't say that only Christians will be in heaven. Now, if you say to me, well, don't you believe that? Well, yeah, I do believe that, that in this dispensation you are either saved and born again, or you will not be there. I can't see it any other way. But I wouldn't use John 14:6 to prove that, because it doesn't prove that. What it does prove, and what it does say, is that whoever is in heaven, and this is in any dispensation, old, new, it doesn't matter. Anyone, whether it's an Old Testament saint, whether it's, you know, one of the individuals, one of the great multitude that is saved in during the great tribulation, and there will be those. Read Revelation carefully and you'll see it. No one who comes off this earth will ever be in heaven except by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're one of those who says, and you want to say, well, I think that everyone who is sincere and is in sincere belief will be saved, well, you and I'll agree to disagree, but even if I threw in with you, you will have to admit that anyone who is in heaven will be there only through Jesus Christ, because he's the only way in. No man comes to the Father but through me. And we have it in verse 25 of chapter 7 of Hebrews again. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God through him. Why? Because he is ever living to make intercession for them. You can't come to God through a dead Jew, if I might be so bold as to say that. Some of you may be offended by that. Tough. You'll just have to be offended. Because look, either our Lord Jesus Christ is very God of very God, either he is the Yahweh of the Old Testament, either he is a living glorified man as at God's right hand, made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, or he's just someone who died back there 2,000 years ago in Palestine and he can't save anyone. And you might be sitting out there. I know the kind of talk that goes on in a lot of our churches about what a wonderful example he was. Wonderful example? I don't need a wonderful example. I've got wonderful examples, you know, all over the place. I need a living Savior. I need one who not only paid the penalty for my sins, but who is keeping me from the power of sin and will one day deliver me from the very presence of sin. And this word uttermost is very important. The word is unto all completion, and the Greek here is interesting in the extreme. Let me give it to you. The Greek, we've got the word uttermost here, and the Greek is eisto panteles. Eis unto, to the, panteles, utter completion. Now let me tell you what this says, and some of you out there, those of you who believe in falling from grace, you won't like this a bit, and you will say, oh, that's not what it means. Well, it is what it means. It means that when he begins a good work, he's the one who will complete it. It is unto all completion or perfection. Anyone who comes to God by him is going to be kept by him. And it, once again, I've said this so many times, and yet I'll continue to say it because, you know, no matter how often you say it, there are those out there, if you, you know, you put it in front of them, if you lay it right before them, their eyes aren't open. They won't get it because I guess they don't want to get it. But you go back and read the sixth chapter of John. And if the Lord Jesus didn't make clear enough in that chapter that he will save and he will keep and he will never lose any of those who come unto God by him, if he doesn't make it clear enough in that in the sixth chapter of John to you, then I guess you'll just have to go on and not have it made clear. But here's another verse that says it, and it says it very clearly. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He lives forever to make intercession. He is seated at the right hand of glory. Now let's go down and look at verse 26. Such an high priest became us. That is, he is exactly what we needed. He is what the doctor ordered, if I might be so bold as to use that kind of language. He is the very thing. We didn't need anything else. He is it. He became us. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And there he is. Now, these Jews that this letter was written to, they really needed to see this. They really needed to take it in. Because if he is all of this, sinless, harmless, undefiled, higher than the heavens, then who is he? He's God. He's God. You couldn't say that of anyone but God. Look at this. He doesn't need to offer up any kind of sacrifices for himself, for his own sin, and then for the people's. He was sinless. The high priest has to offer up sins, sacrifices for himself. He had to do that for his own sin. There's not a priest on this earth today, I don't care what kind of title he has, who is not a sinner. He is defiled and marred by sin. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about this business of sin. Sin, you and I, we don't see sin the way God sees it. Many times in my own prayers before the Lord, I'll find myself admitting to him that I don't get it. I've lived in this sin-cursed, rebellious earth all of my life. I was born in the line of Adam. I was born in sin. In iniquity my mother bore me. I was shaped by sin, and I have been sinning all my life. I don't know what it would be like to be sinless and to be in a place where there was no sin. I don't, but God is absolutely sinless and holy. And therefore, friends, I want you to just think about that a minute. We don't look at sin the way God looks at it. You know, I just sinned a little sin here, and you sinned a great big one there, and boy, that sin of yours was dreadful, but mine wasn't quite so bad, or vice versa. God doesn't look at it that way. Sin is absolutely abhorrent and defiling. And that's how God sees it, in his perfection and in the beauty of the holiness which he has. And the Lord Jesus, you see, is sinless. He does not need and never needed to offer sacrifices for his own sins the way the high priest did and the way any priest so-called or high priest so-called or whoever he is today. We are all marred and defiled by sin. The Lord Jesus is not. But this one who was perfect in his sinlessness, we know from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 through 21, you go back and read that, he made him, that is God, made his son Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What did that cost him? What did it cost this sinless one who always lived in absolute union with his Father? What did it cost him to be separated from his Father and marred and defiled by sin? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But I know it was a dreadful thing. And I know that the very thought of it is what caused him to sweat and to weep in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Father, if there is any way, let this cup pass from me. But there wasn't. And that is why he went into the place of condemnation, and that is why once he offered up himself. He stood in the place of condemnation for us. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now let's go on here, and I'll just read down this last verse in the chapter, and we'll comment on it. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. The oath of God, the word of God, thou art an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The law could make a man a high priest. The law could make a man a Levitical priest and, you know, give him a place out here setting up the tabernacle or sweeping out the courtyard or even slaying the sacrifices or burning them or, you know, whatever needed to be done. The law could do that, but the law was imperfect. And the high priest and the priests were imperfect. And not one of them could have done anything to take sin away or to save you or me from our sins. If they could have, and we'll just close out with this thought, and I want you to think about this. If the Aaronic high priest and if the Levitical priests, if they could have done something to save people from sin, if the slaying of those animals on the altars over and over and over again, if the blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat, if any of that could have saved people from sins, if that had done it, do you imagine in your wildest dreams that God would have allowed his Son to go into the place of condemnation that he went into? Do you think for one minute that if God had loved us so much, and he did, that he wanted to save us and bring us to salvation and bring us home to him in glory forever? Do you think for one minute that he would have sent his Son from his side and seen him humbled and brought down to the lowest place that is imaginable and spat upon and mutilated and disfigured and blasphemed against and defied? Do you think God would have allowed his Son to do that? If the Aaronic high priesthood and the Levitical priesthood or any of the law of Moses or anything else men could do could save people, forget it. He would not have allowed it. But they could not save us. They could not complete or perfect us. And so God sent his Son, and his Son is today at his right hand in glory. You think about that as you go through this week. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.